couple of announcements. This coming Saturday is our church barbecue and potluck. This coming Saturday at 5 p.m., it's going to be at the picnic shelter right across the parking lot out here. And today is the last day to sign up. So get signed up and bring a friend. And if you don't get your friend signed up, bring him anyway. There's going to be more than enough food. And if you have any questions about it, there's some names here in the bulletin and some phone numbers that you can call. On Sunday, September the 18th at 6 p.m., we're going to have a gathering for praise and prayer at our ministry center. Jeff will lead singing. Doug and I will lead prayer. And you'll have an opportunity to participate in that prayer if you want. You can pray silently if you want. And we're going to pray for our church, pray for our community, pray for our nation, and pray for our world. And this is going to be a monthly event, and it'll be on the third Sunday of every month. So come and be a part. Today is the conclusion of our summer in the Psalms. And next Sunday, Bill Roscoe, Boise Rescue Mission, will be with us. It's kind of been a tradition that we invite Bill to come and share with us about the rescue mission every September. And I love Bill, and I know you do too. And so don't miss next week. Bill will be preaching. As I said, today is the last day, summer in the Psalms. Today I'm going to read and preach on Psalm 28. And then Sunday after next, Doug and I are going to begin a series in the book of Romans. So, Psalm 28, a psalm of David. Hear the word of the Lord. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the works of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. The word of the Lord. Would you bow with me in prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Bible is the most realistic book that was ever written. It doesn't sugarcoat anything. The Bible never tricks you into thinking things are better than they are. It's blunt about the difficulties and battles that we face in this sinful and fallen world. And I choose the word battle very deliberately. The Bible teaches us over and over again that life in this broken world is a battle. It's a war. And we don't fight with rifles or literal swords, but it's a battle. And we need God's strength. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus has defeated the forces of evil and won the victory for us. But life is still a battle. And before, from now until we enter eternity, it's going to continue to be a battle. Psalm 28 begins with an urgent, even desperate call for, it's David crying out to God, help me. Look at verse 1. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. David does not tell us specifically what the challenge that he's facing is. And I really think that that's deliberate, so that we can pray this prayer too. David is desperate. He's asking the Lord to intervene now. He says, be not deaf to me. Don't be silent to me. The silence of God, or the perceived silence of God, that David is experiencing intensifies his suffering. And his suffering is reaching the point of being unbearable. When he says, I become like those who go down to the pit, he's talking about the grave, or in the Old Testament, Sheol, the place of the dead. His suffering is so intense, it's like he's about to die. Have you ever felt that way? I know I have. David's second petition, verse 2, underscores the first. He says, hear the voice of my pleas for mercy. And when David pleads for mercy, he's asking the Lord to deliver him, save him from the fix that he's in, from the dangerous situation that he's in. When David asks for mercy, he's trusting in the promise of God. One of the pivotal moments of the Bible, of the whole biblical narrative, is Moses on Mount Sinai. And Moses asked the Lord to show his face to me. And the Lord said, I cannot show you my face, but I'll pass by. And God passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So when David pleads for mercy, he's appealing to the character of God, the revealed character of God. David cannot rescue himself, and neither can we. He's asking God to deliver him, because God's character is merciful, gracious, abounding in steadfast love. Now, in verse 3, the psalm takes a turn. David has prayed that the Lord will lift him out of this crisis that he faces so that he will not be likened to or judged with the wicked. Listen to verse 3. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Now, everyone sins. Everyone. But when David refers to the wicked, he's referring to those whose hearts are turned completely to evil and deception. They care only for themselves. They reject God and his ways. In verses 4 and 5, David prays for God's judgment on the wicked. He prays in verse 4, give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. David has apparently been wronged, treated unfairly. But notice, he's not lashing out to get even. He's praying, and forgive me if I, I'm going to paraphrase this. Lord, get them and get them good. But notice, David is praying for the Lord's justice. He's not praying permission, let me get him and get him good. Give me permission to get even with them. And if you're like me, you wouldn't pray that, but you'll rehearse it in your mind, won't you? If you're like me. Oh, we love to rehearse getting even. And we roll it over and over in our minds. That's a form of prayer. God is listening. And if we rehearse it enough, we will act out. Notice that David is praying for God to punish the wicked. David knows that he's not righteous and that God is. He's saying, God, in your righteousness, in your justice, punish the wicked. Romans 12, 19 and 20 says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. So, being nice to someone who's been mean to you is really a way of getting even. The Bible says you'll heap burning coals on their head. In other words, you'll baffle them with kindness. And maybe get their attention in a way that you wouldn't if you tried to get even. Then in verse 6, Psalm 28 takes a final turn, and it really begins to soar at this point. David's heart has turned. The opening of the psalm is a desperate cry for help. The second part of the psalm is God punish the wicked. And then comes the resolution. Verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. And then verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Now remember that I said the Bible tells us all of life is a battle. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Now, David is using the term shield figuratively. The Lord is my defender. The Lord is my protector, just like a shield. God is our rock, says David. God is our strength. God is our shield. God is our saving refuge. And refuge in the Old Testament is another term for fortress. That's where we run for protection. But you know, it's not the danger of the situation that you're in, but it's who you're with that counts most of all. Let me repeat that. It's not the danger of the situation that you're in, but it's who you're with that counts most of all. I'm going to tell you a story really briefly. When I was in college, some buddies of mine and I went to Tijuana, and we Mexico, and we left the tourist area because we wanted to explore other parts of Tijuana. And we went into a little cantina that we probably shouldn't have been in. And we're just eating dinner, and tourists apparently weren't welcome in this place. And a guy sitting at another table started staring at me, and I thought, well, I'll just smile at him, and that'll disarm anybody, right? So I smiled at him, and he stood up, and he started yelling at me in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish very well, but I recognized a lot of words that we don't say in church. And so I stood up. I thought, well, you know, I can calm anybody down. And he continued to yell at me. And I was getting very afraid that this was going to turn into a physical fight, when all of a sudden he just dropped his hands and sat back down. And I thought, ha, I showed him. And then I turned around, and there was two jarhead Marines standing right behind me. From Camp Pendleton. And they saw the threat to me, and they came to my defense. It's not the situation you're in, it's who you're with that counts. And you and I are in God's presence wherever we go. When are you not in God's presence? And when is our faithful God not with you and within you and all around you? Our God is the covenant-keeping, faithful God. Not even disaster and death can separate you from his love. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 says nothing. Nothing in heaven and earth, all creation, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The endless challenges and demands of life are unified and ordered in God's presence. Now, between now and eternity, as I said, life is going to be filled with battles. It can be exhausting and frustrating and discouraging. And by battles, I don't mean something other than ordinary life. Ordinary life is a battle. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, before he talks about putting on the full armor of God, he talks about ordinary mundane things like parenting, marriage, how to get along in church. Well, we wonder why parenting is such a struggle, no matter what age our kids are, right? And we wish our marriages could be free of conflict and hurt. We would all love if there were no conflicts in our jobs and our responsibilities, or in our country, or in our churches. But we wake up every day to a world that persists in evil, and that evil is in our hearts as well. The way the Apostle Paul ended his letter to the Ephesians is instructive. It's the sixth chapter of Ephesians that Chuck read a few moments ago. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You hear the echo of Psalm 28. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. We're tempted to think that Paul is talking about something exceptional or exotic, something that would be faced only by the most spiritually advanced and daring among us. But no, Paul is talking about everyday Christianity. In this world, you will have tribulation. And there's evil behind it. Paul is saying to us, you know all that I've said about marriage and parenting and communication and anger and the church and so on. It's all one big spiritual battle. Paul is telling us that street-level practical Christianity is war. There really is a moral right and wrong. There really is an enemy that we can't face alone. There really is seductive and deceptive temptation. And you really are, and I really am, spiritually vulnerable. And you really are, and I really am, defenseless on my own. It's not the situation you're in, but who you're with that counts. And Paul says more, and he echoes David in Psalm 28. Paul and David, and of course the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, are telling us that by God's grace, we've been armed for the battle. And even more than that, we have an all-powerful and invincible warrior at our side. The question is, will you remember that he is your saving refuge? The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. Let's bow together for prayer. God, we thank you that you are our rock and our refuge, and that you give strength faithfully that we can rely on. We thank you that you have promised your saving presence and love to us. You will never let us go. So help us by your Holy Spirit, Father, when the challenges of life come, as they do every day, to run to you for refuge, to run to you for strength, to run to you for the love that conquers all. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.